Hello and welcome to another episode of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Today's show brought to you by our friends at Agrigold. They are generally the sponsors of our CFTV live show. We didn't have CFTV live this week. Jared Stansbury alongside Jeff Woody. What up, dude?
Nothing much, man. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. We are pre-recording this one to destroy the magic of radio. But I am crossing my fingers at two. Because I don't know if I've talked about it on this, but I feel like I love snow up until like the first week of January. And then after that, it can absolutely just shove off and I don't care. But a white Christmas is possible today. And so I'm kind of crossing my fingers and hoping that it snows. And it's odd for me to say I hope that it snows, but it's December 21st and it should be a white Christmas. We haven't had one in like 3 years.
I hate snow. Hate it with a burning passion.
Well, you're from Southwest Iowa. That's pretty much Arizona.
Pretty much Arizona. Oh, yeah. Climates are very similar. It's very dry and arid down there.
I feel like you are missing the point of Christmas. And not the point of Christmas, but the feel.
I was going to say the point of Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ.
It's true, but I was saying I meant the feel of Christmas, okay. Which is a winter celebration, if you will.
If I want a white Christmas.
Did Bing Crosby sing like, I'm dreaming of like a muted 42 degree Christmas? No, that is not what he said.
If I want a white Christmas, I'll watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Is that your number one go-to Christmas special?
That one or the Grinch or Rudolph.
You can't pick
or
three.
Or Frosty.
You can't pick four.
Or Santa's Coming to Town. I'm a big fan of all the stop-motion ones.
So, yeah, okay. So that would make Rudolph your favorite or the Santa's Coming to Town. Look, Rudolph is clearly the best.
I don't know about clearly.
The Rudolph with the Santa Claus bumbles, everything about that is about a redemption story. Mm-hmm. It's about a castaway, and it's about saving the day when everyone needs it. Sounds like the Trevor Ryan story, tell you what.
Sure. Yeah, I guess you could say that. Why not the Kyle Kemp story?
It's true. Could be the Kyle Kemp story.
I think
it would
probably be closer to
the Kyle Kemp story.
Yeah.
Kyle Kemp is Rudolph?
With less abominable snowmen.
Who would be the abominable snowman? Community colleges? The NCAA?
No, probably like, I don't know, who hurt him? West Virginia. Would they be the abominable snowman?
They would be the bumble. And then who would be UConn Cornelius pulling the teeth out? That would be Zeb Nolan then, wouldn't it be? I feel like Zeb Nolan being UConn Cornelius is like a name. Zeb and UConn, I feel like those are pretty, like that is a pretty interchangeable character.
Man, it didn't take us very long to get off the rails today.
Welcome to a podcast or a radio show with Jeff and Jared, where staying on track is really rare.
I guess we're going to kick it off today. Iowa State with a win last night over Maryland Eastern Shore. Did you watch the game?
I did not. I had to work until 7:30.
Okay. It was not a very enjoyable basketball game.
I flipped on the game and listened to Eric and John for the final about 3 minutes of the game and kind of was like, oh, what's the score? And you can always tell with Eric and John, you can always tell about Eric's tone.
Yeah.
About how the game has gone. And you could tell he was like exasperated but not mad.
Yeah.
Or he's just, there's another offensive rebound. And it was, you could tell that they were winning because they didn't update the score and the 3 minutes that I had gone, 2 minutes into the whatever, listening to it on the radio. And you could tell that they were winning, but it wasn't an appealing game because the first thing I listened to is Eric rattling off poor statistics. And I was like, all right, well, okay, well, at least they're winning.
That's funny. I'd always heard that about Pete Taylor, too. You could turn the radio on, and within, like, 30 seconds, you knew whether or not they were winning by just the tone of his voice.
And John kind of has that, too, but I think Eric more, because Eric has so many...
He, like, lives and dies with it, man. Well, I mean, so does John, but...
It's funny, because Eric has so many of those, like, just expectant and exasperated sighs.
Yeah.
There's Solomon Young shooting an 18-footer. That's not the shot you want. Okay. Okay, man.
Last night... Give up 15 offensive rebounds to Maryland Eastern Shore.
Now, is that... having not watched the game, because I don't know if a lot of people did,
Yeah, it was on Cyclones TV.
Right, and so a lot of people probably listen. More people probably listen to it on the radio than they did watch it.
Or follow it on Twitter.
Did it seem like it was a... I feel like the game right before Christmas, all the students are gone. The kids just got done with their hardest back-to-back series of games with Northern Iowa and Iowa back-to-back, give or take, right?
And yeah, so, it was Alcorn State in there.
So... that's your hardest series so far this season, and then they rest Hans Braes because I would assume it's rest, not injury.
He had a sprained ankle.
Rest. Yeah. So if it was Kansas, he's playing.
Yeah.
So you're resting one of your seniors. You have it's Christmas. The students are gone. You're coming off a couple really tough games, really big atmospheres. I feel like this was sleepwalk game. Was it sleepwalk game?
Yeah, I definitely think it. I mean, the thing is they came out and played pretty well in the first half. I mean, they weren't perfect.
Did they just pull the foot off the throttle and go, all right, let's just coast to the finish line?
Yeah, I think that's what – they came out in that second half and just didn't have any energy.
Yeah.
Didn't really
–
I'm ready to go home now.
What was the halftime score?
34-17.
Okay.
When they came out and they were up 88-0 right away. So, I mean, that's it. They played well in the first half, you know.
When does the when do the basketball – because football guys, depending on the bowl season, we always would get a week. If we went to the bowl games, you'd get a week for Christmas somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I would assume the basketball guys get probably like what, three to 5 days.
They left today and then they'll be back the 26th.
Yeah. So I would guess that you have, this has to be checkout game.
Yeah.
Like just sleepwalk game. It's good that they won it. It's bad that it took as much as it took to get the win, but it's good that they actually did, you know, manage to scrape through.
Yeah, it was funny. I was looking at the stat sheet, and as Jeff takes his pants off,
I'm wearing shorts.
In the middle
it is
of,
warm in here.
Of the podcast.
It is warm in here.
they held Maryland Eastern short to 29% shooting from the field, and won by 6 points. And I was just like, that is almost impressive.
That is, how good is your defense? Because you're not going to have any offense today.
Yeah.
But in years past, if an Iowa State team didn't shoot well, they were going to lose that game, which I think says something about this team that we've seen so far. And I think Prohm has said it himself, that the emphasis of this team is defense is going to start their offense.
Yeah.
And so I think it's starting to, you know, this team is sort of starting to find, even as you go, they're starting to find more of an identity, even an identity within an identity, because, you know, we've figured out that it's going to be those three guards. And then on the forwards, it's going to be some combination of the four of Braes, Beverly, Young, and Lard. It's those guys are going to end up being in some rotation.
Yeah.
And then you're going to pepper in Lewis to kind of play like a three guard ish. And then once Jacoby Long gets healthy, he'll probably supplement those minutes too. So you sort of have an idea.
I think Zoran Talley will play a lot whenever he comes back too.
And he'll be like a three and a half.
Three, four.
And so you're going to have this team sort of has an identity of where, okay, what's everyone going to be doing? What's everyone's role? But now within that identity, it's sort of like, okay, it's going to be a defensive man team, a defensive zone team. Is it going to be press? Who's the number one on-ball defender? And it's sort of that's starting to pepper out now too. And it feels like this team is going to be more of a defensive team than past Iowa State teams, and they're going to want to just zip and rip up and down the floor, which is good if you have off shooting nights. Mm-hmm. Where, like I said, the Iowa State teams in the past, you know, the teams that were heavy with shooters, and George and Naz and say Matt have an off day, Monte has to carry the load all by himself, or you know, someone like Edgem has to get 27 rebounds in order for that game to be close. Again, we're talking about Maryland Eastern Shore, but it feels like this team sort of is nailing down what they're going to be for the rest of the season. Although Steve Prohm's a wizard, and this may end up changing by the end of the year.
Well, and that's what I think I came out of last night feeling good about, was that Lindell Wigginton goes, I want to say 2 for 8 from the field, like 1 for 5 from three. Had 5 points, 3 turnovers. I mean, he's played by far his worst game that he's played all season, and they were still able to get enough out of other people to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cam Lard scores 15 points.
Weren't they like 4 of 18 or something like that from 3?
Yeah.
Just a general horrible shooting
game. Yeah, they just did not play well. offensively, and they really struggled. You know, Maryland Eastern Shore went to a zone at one point in the game, and they just really struggled against that.
Well, Hans was the guy. I mean, Hans was—he's not near remotely as close as skilled as George is. But teams stopped playing Iowa State with George in a zone because he would just sit down right at the free throw line, and he'd orchestrate the rest of the offense from there.
Yeah.
And I don't think outside of maybe Zrantali once by the time, because he plays that same similar style, but he's not a ball facilitator.
Yeah,
I trust Hans to break that zone by just sitting at the free throw line and forcing everything to collapse and facilitate. If Hans isn't in there or isn't able to go in there to bust that zone, Iowa State's going to have to find another way to get around that. I mean, I don't know who that guy is, and I don't know if that's the only way to break a zone because I don't know basketball that well.
No.
But that's the easiest way, I would assume, is to put a four at the free throw line and facilitate everything from there, a shooting four.
Yeah, and it's tough with, you know, you're just not going to get that as much from Cam Lard because he can't put that as much pressure on a defense from that position. But you're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 Cakes. And I know Jared Stansberry, Jeff Woody, talking Iowa State basketball. Next up for the Cyclones, the Big 12 slate gets underway next Friday against the Bruce Weber-led Kansas State Wildcats.
I know nothing about this Kansas State team.
I don't know much about them either at this point, to be completely honest.
But it's the Big 12, and I feel like if you look at any whether it's ESPN or Fox Sports or CBS Sports or whatever, if you look across the country, does the Big 12 have any Final Four teams? Maybe Kansas, maybe Oklahoma if they get hot. I don't know. Maybe a team like Baylor goes on a run, but – or Texas goes on a run.
Yeah.
Maybe they have one, but they don't have any, like, Final Four-style favorite teams. But there's not one bad team in this conference. And everyone went and thought Oklahoma State was going to be a bad team. Well, who is – didn't they end up beating Florida State in Tallahassee?
They did.
And so that's
– Kansas State just beat Washington State last night in Pullman, I think.
So it's a – there's no bad teams in this conference, so we may not know much about.
Oh, it was in Spokane.
We may not know much about these teams, but I feel like you can't ever look at a Big 12 team like 3 years ago TCU, where they're just bad and they're gonna
right.
You're gonna go out and you can shoot 29%, or you can hold an opponent 29% and expect to win by 40.
Right.
This is gonna be, you hold an opponent 29%, you are probably also in the 30s.
Yeah.
So we'll obviously do a little more digging into Kansas State prior to the next radio show.
But I'm looking at them right now, and their two losses are to Arizona State, who's undefeated, the number three team in the country right now, and to Tulsa, who Iowa State beat in the Puerto Rico tip-off in Myrtle Beach. So, I don't know. I mean, the rest of their wins, besides that one against Washington State, they beat Vanderbilt. I don't know if Vanderbilt's that good this year. They were okay last year. But other than that, you know, it's just a bunch of randoms.
Is this in Manhattan?
No, it is in Ames.
Huge advantage.
Yeah.
For a Big 12 game.
I mean, I think Iowa State will win the game because Hans will be back, is expected to be back. I think that Jacoby's expected to be back. So, I mean, they'll have as many guys as they've had in weeks.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, they're not going to have six guys play 32 minutes.
As much as anything, I'm just interested to see, you know, how does Lindell play in his first Big 12 game?
Yeah, well, I think the Iowa game, having sort of tested the waters of what a big atmosphere is going to feel like,
yeah,
hopefully shook off the energy intensity that a Big 12 game brings.
The only thing for me with that is that Big 12 teams are built a lot different than what Iowa is.
That's true.
You're going to have to play against – you're going to get guarded by somebody a lot different than that, you know? Like, they're going to have a guy that's more like him to guard him than what Iowa did. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get guarded by any Jordan Bohannon. Nothing. I mean, Jordan Bohannon's a fine player, but that's just the reality of it.
He's,
you know,
Phil Forte. He's not a defensive stopper.
But yeah, so they get Kansas State on Friday, and then Mo Bamba in the Texas Longhorns will roll into town for a early Monday showdown on the 1st of January. That'll be fun.
That's
You know about Mo Bamba?
I've only seen highlights of him breaking rims.
Yes, he is a very good basketball player.
He plays the sports.
He does play the sports. We will talk a little bit about Iowa State's early signing period when we come back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Agrigold on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by AgriGold on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Jared Stansberry, Jeff Woody here, pre-recording this week's show. We're not at Whiskey River in Ankeny. We probably wish we were.
I do wish I was, although I think I did just see a snowflake. Just
no, you
one
didn't.
Singular snowflake.
No, you didn't. You're lying.
Maybe it's delusionary. Maybe it was just hoping that it was a snowflake, but I thought I saw one single snowflake. If you listened in hour one, you knew my desire to have a white Christmas.
Hour one. It was segment one. It was not an hour.
Hour one.
We talked for 15 minutes.
God, it was 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Was it time? What's the opposite of time flying if you just hate the person you're with?
I was going to say, you hate me that much or you hate Casey that much?
That's you. Casey's fine.
So I know you're not a huge recruiting buff. But obviously, the early signing period lasts through tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on Iowa State's class?
So the thing that I don't necessarily that I'm not a recruiting buff. It's just there's so many variables until everything's on paper signed.
Well, it is on paper and signed.
Right.
Now.
So until everything's on paper signed, and then they get to campus.
Yeah.
So that's once they get to campus, you can sort of feel it out. Then on the aggregate, you can assess the class. But as an individual basis, you know, you get too many 4-star kids that don't ever pan out to anything. Like the two, mm-hmm. I think we had 2 4-stars or upper threes when I was there, and it was Bo Williams and Cedric Johnson. And I mean, neither one of those guys panned out to anything.
What about Alan Lazard and Jake Campos?
Weren't there when I was there. Campos was.
Oh, okay.
Campos was a red shirt when I was there. But I'm saying of guys that I personally experienced playing with.
Yeah.
And so
I guess I got my years mixed up.
The recruiting, I'm not that young. The recruiting stars to me are something that you can take as a whole.
Yeah.
Like you get 27 kids in a recruiting class. On the average, what's their star total? That's a more true measure than just one guy's star total.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, the early signing period makes that a lot more concrete and a lot more interesting, I guess, for me. And I would assume for any other guy who played college football is going to be head over heels in love with this early signing period.
Did you play with Jamaica Bass?
I did not play with JJ Bass.
Okay. He was a 4-star kid.
He was there before I was there.
Okay. Yeah, everybody else was a while ago. Sorry, I was gonna fact check you. Check you.
Yeah, it was
check your memory.
2, Cedric Johnson and Bo Williams.
Bo Williams wasn't on there.
Bo Williams was a 4-star coming out of high school to Florida, and then
I'm just telling you what the
Iowa State.
I'm just telling you what the list said. Okay, well that doesn't count.
He went from Florida, transferred from Florida to Iowa State. He's a 4-star out of high school.
Well, if he was a 4, man, okay, whatever. But I mean, I think that yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. But, I mean, I think that you can look at what this staff has done, and you can see what some of the guys that they've brought in,
yes.
what they've been able to do already on the field.
Yes.
And it makes you feel good. You know, the class is only ranked, in the 50s, but that's brought down by the fact that they signed a kicker and a punter.
Right, because they needed a kicker and a punter.
Right, yeah, both those guys are going to play it next year. I mean, I would assume so, at least.
And also, side note, the punter looks like he's 37 years old.
Yes, he does.
Like, okay, it's coming from a guy who started losing his hair at 18. I look older than I am. Sorry, complete side little anecdote. I was 18 mm-hmm. when my dad and I went to Target, and dad was going to get a 6-pack of beer, and then he set it on the conveyor belt, and then he's like, oh, shoot, I forgot something. And the cashier was busy helping another patron in front of me. And he walks back to whatever section he was going to. And by that time, before dad got back, the 6-pack of beer went up to the checkout stand. The checkout lady just scanned it and then just goes, you know, that'll be $7.50 or whatever. And I was like, wait, I didn't even know how to react.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I'm 18, right? She's like, oh, whoops. Would have fooled me. So I've always looked older than I am, but this guy, I feel like he should be in the movie Up.
Why?
With his he's got old man cheeks. I've got old man hair. He's got old man cheeks. This is a complete side story. Just if
I don't know where
name? What's
I don't know where
name?
You're Corey Dunn.
Corey Dunn. If you look up Corey
this is
Dunn.
Not what I expected to like. Where
why
I expected
would you not
to go with
why
talking
would
about
you,
Corey Dunn? No,
why
because
would you not expect that?
I was going to ask you what. I mean, when is the last time that Iowa State had 2 guys from outside the country on their roster? He's from Australia.
And Leo's also from
Australia.
We had 1 Canadian, Cleon Lang, when I was here. When
yeah.
I was there. I don't know if we had anybody else from outside the country.
And they had a kid from Germany on an official visit too.
Ooh, yeah. What's he do?
He was a defensive end, I think. I actually think he ended up going to Michigan.
I was thinking there was a kid that went to Florida State. It was a German, big German kid. Ended up playing for the Colts.
That could be. I don't know. I know when I saw his highlight tapes, they were like him jumping over fences, like in the German countryside.
It's probably hard to get a football recruiting tape there's literally no football to be played. Yeah. Who are you going to play?
Doing like drills. And then there's like under this scary bridge out like in the middle of nowhere in Germany. But yeah, so that guy's going to Michigan. But
anyway,
yeah,
the early signing period, I think, is really good from just a conceptual standpoint outside of the individuals, because you would know more about the individuals than I do. And I think we'll flip the script and I'll ask you questions in a second. But I think one of the things that I really like about the early signing period is from a recruit's standpoint. And granted, I wasn't a 2, 3, 4, 5 star guy. I wasn't a guy that was receiving multiple offers, but I do know that I was still getting recruited ish in the same light. And
I saw your highlight tape. You would have been a 5 star in my book.
Thanks.
Welcome to the jungle.
Thanks. The sound was not my intention. That was not my pick. That was my mom's coworker who put our DVD together, because that was pre-huddle, as we had to get all the game film and rip the DVD onto a computer and then send those files to somebody else who then burns them down onto a DVD. So that was his choice of the music, by the way. Also, times have changed. It took months to put that thing together. It takes like 7 minutes to put together a highlight tape.
Yeah, that might even be on the high side of things.
Yeah. Complete diversion. But one of the things about that's nice about the signing period is that it's really stressful to go through the recruiting process as you're also in your season, because you're not trying to think about where am I going or what am I doing. And then when you are, you're thinking like, okay, well, I need to get 200 yards, or I need to get 3 touchdowns, or I need to get whatever. And it's sort of in the back of your mind of I have to perform well to earn where this is going. And it takes a little bit of the enjoyment out of what your high school football season is going to be, especially because these kids will learn high school is significantly easier and immediately way more fun than college is. By the time you get to be a sophomore, junior, senior, or, you know, in the case of like Deshante Jones, a freshman, by the time you get to be up in those upper classes, it's fun again. But high school, when you're good at the thing, is super fun because it's not hard at all. And so you get to actually enjoy that season.
And you're playing with your friends.
And you're playing with your friends, the kids you grew up with. It should be fun. And so being able to sign prior to your senior season, or sign prior to even whether it's senior year or even before your track season or your basketball season, if it's just the general early signing period, and you don't have to have coaches just continually lingering around where you're going to be, then that allows you to kind of relax and enjoy the very few years of like relatively stress-free life that you've got, because your stressors in high school, as everyone can attest to, are way different than your stressors in real life.
Right.
So I think for the kids and the families, their mom's not going to have to say, well, I think he needs to, you know, they got this offer from smaller school A, but it's a decent fit. But I think he should be able to get to bigger school B with a better fit.
Yeah.
And we're going to hold out for that one. And then dad wants to take the offer because that's better money. And all of a sudden the parents start fighting because where they think they should go. And so being able to take all that off the table early is a lot better for the kids, a lot better for the families. It's going to make everything a lot more enjoyable. Sure, it's going to every once in a while screw over a school that wants to end up taking a kid, or maybe a kid ends up wanting to get out of his commitment. Fine, whatever. Yeah. On 99.9% of the kids that can commit early are going to be much better off if they know exactly where they want to go, that decision gets taken off their plate. So I love the early signing period from a kid's and a family's perspective of the people being recruited.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from completely. And I went through the recruiting process. It was on a much smaller scale, being Division III, you know, in school, in NAIA schools and stuff like that, in basketball. But even then,
it's the same principle.
Right, when you have
smaller school A and bigger school B, does mom wants you to go to smaller school A to take the money, and dad wants you to hold out because he thinks you can get to bigger school B.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the tension in your family is based on where that decision is going to go. And it's not fun.
Well, and just having coaches, you know, come watch you, and it's like, oh, this coach is here, I feel like I got to play really well.
Right.
You know, or anything. I remember one time, we were playing Fremont Mills. You know where Fremont Mills is?
Nope.
It's way down in the middle of nowhere. Tabor, Iowa. Tabor. Yeah.
No. No offense to people.
The coach from Buena Vista was coming to watch me play. And I played like the worst game of my high school career. I think I had 2 points and I went like 1 for 6 from the field. And he came up to me after the game and said, you know, if you got to play a year of JV and you have to, it takes some time for develop, that's not a big deal. We'll still take you. And at that point I was like,
yeah, I'm not going to BV.
Yep. I was like, nope, not going to BV. I already knew I wasn't going to go to BV anyway. The town smelled weird when I went on my visit and I cut him out, but
no offense.
No offense to anybody that lives in Storm Lake, but yeah. So, I mean, I think that with this Iowa State class, talking about this here on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, presented by Agrigold. I think if I had to pick one guy.
I was going to say, who is the gem of the class? Is it the Ramos kid? That is the crown jewel of the class?
He's the highest rated kid. Excuse me. He is definitely the highest rated kid. But I think the guy that I'm most excited for is Will McDonald, the defensive end out of Wisconsin. 6'4", 220 pounds, has only played football for 2 years. He had 24 sacks during his high school career.
Goodness.
He's played 2 years of high school football.
Okay.
And he went to Waukesha, Wisconsin is, but I think that's probably a pretty big school. So he's playing a high level of football, and he's apparently a freak.
Was there anybody that Iowa State wasn't expecting to get that ended up coming over, or was it all sort of down, like, they nailed down who they wanted and they got who they wanted?
Yeah, I mean, the signing day was the least, I mean, there was full of the least surprise-full signing day that I can remember, especially since Campbell's been here. I mean, last year wasn't crazy, but they didn't get anybody that I don't think they didn't expect. I mean, Zach Peterson from North Scott, mm-hmm. probably one of the fastest rising in-state players in the state, had a monster senior year there. I know that his offer to come to Iowa State initially was a gray shirt offer, and then they got a decommitment the night before signing day, and they gave him that scholarship, and then he was able to come in the class,
He's a legacy kid, right? Like, yeah. Didn't his dad play up
there? Yeah, his dad played in the early 90s. It played defensive tackle. So I think that they're going to end up coming out of that one pretty good. He had Kansas State, Illinois, I want to say Iowa. He had an offer from them as well. So I think they're going to come out of that one pretty well. But, I mean, I think that – and then Joey Ramos, pretty much everybody knew he was going to end up picking Iowa State in the end. But, yeah, I mean, I would say that Will McDonald's one that I'm really excited about. I'm excited to see what Greg Eisworth can do. He's a safety out of Trinity Valley.
You know who I'm excited to see, and I hope that I don't see him, is Rayal Mitchell. Because he's early signing period kid, but he's been committed for 2 years now, like a year and a half.
No, it feels like that long, but it was like June.
But I feel like he's been committed in that, like, this early signing period is going to be, because he was an Elite 11 kid.
And he gets on campus in January.
And yeah, and so he gets on campus in January. And Devron Moore, no one knows how.
Devin.
Devin Moore, excuse me. Devin Moore's.
Devron Moore never made it to campus, I think.
Devin Moore, excuse me.
Yeah.
No one knows how his leg is going to end up being.
Right.
Because it was a pretty gnarly injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have Zeb and a possibly not healthy Devin Moore. And then Rayal Mitchell, unless they get a grad transfer somewhere along the line.
Which we can talk about that more in a minute.
So Rayal Mitchell might have a shot to get a little bit of playing time. So
yeah.
I think to have him in the fold and get him there in January, I think it's going to be – he's a kid that I'm excited to see what exactly does the hype translates to how he can actually play.
Yeah, and that's – yeah, I mean, I think that we can talk about him more. We got to take a break here. But we'll be right back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Agrigold on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, presented by our friends at Agrigold. Thanks to Agrigold for everything they do for us here at Cyclone Fanatic. They're the presenting sponsors of CFTV Live. Jeff and I will, after the new year, be coming back with a basketball show of CFTV Live.
Similar to CFTV Live in the fact that we're going to be breaking down stuff using that nice little telestration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But who's asking the questions and who's answering the questions may be different.
It'll be reversed. It'll be like looking in a mirror, listening in a mirror.
Ooh. I feel like that wouldn't change much.
No, I don't think that would.
I think sound doesn't distort in a mirror.
You are probably correct, but we are just going to move on from that. Getting back to Iowa State football recruiting, we were talking about the early signing period in that previous segment. Talk a little bit about the heat that Iowa State is generating on the 2019 cycle right now. And
they got some big kids.
Oh, and graduate transfer quarterbacks. We'll talk about that a little bit here in this segment too.
One other side note before we get to 2019.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit more about 2018
class.
Too,
yeah. One of the things that I've noticed too about this Campbell staff, and this is sort of like a general trend, is teams are going for taller corners.
Yeah.
Like the height that this staff is trying to put outside, whether it's with wide receivers or whether it's with cornerbacks, they're trying to get height on the outside, like the Taylor Cortez kid.
Yeah, 6'2", 170.
6'2", as a corner. Like, granted, he's skinny. He may not play right away because I think Iowa State's built, over the past couple of recruiting classes, has built a pretty good amount of
depth. Oh, yeah,
they're
loaded at defensive
back. In the secondary. But, especially with Haycock being the safeties coach, yeah. And then DK McDonald at corners.
Safeties is probably going to be the biggest question mark on the defense.
Well, they lose all three of them.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to fill them.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that I've noticed is just the height that this staff is going for at wide receiver and corner. Because what was the other? There's like a 6'6 wide receiver. What's his name?
Sean Shaw Jr. Yeah.
And then obviously, like guys, I think Carson Schlecker is another wide receiver. He's
dude,
short.
That guy,
he's little.
That guy is fast, dude.
He's like, from Allen. You know the last recruit Iowa State got from Allen, Texas? Allen uh-huh. High School? Jeremy Reeves. Talk about fast.
Yeah. But if you watch watch his highlights sometime. It's crazy to see how fast he gets off the line, dude. It is insane. Like
he's going to be an M position
he's
guy, right?
Oh, yeah. He's playing in 6A football in Texas and is blowing by people for, 50-yard touchdowns. He has like a 90-yard touchdown catch where he gets by the guy before the other guy even makes a step. I swear. It's crazy. I was thinking, like, what is the level that this guy's playing at? That's like huge high school football in Texas.
That's the best, yeah. The best class. 6A is, I believe, the biggest class in Texas.
Right. So he's playing the best of the best in Texas and is just making them look stupid. And they have a guy that's like
which is neat.
Yeah, they have a guy that's like one of the top receivers in the country on the opposite side. So he didn't get near as many targets this year, but he had like 30 catches for 700 and something yards and 8 touchdowns.
Sounds like Deshaunte Jones, Trevor Ryan. Ish to me. Well, yeah. Another question. Complete diversion. Where does Kenne Nwangu fit in this offense next year?
Wherever you can give him the football.
Because Dave Montgomery is obviously he has to get the lion's share of the carries at running
right.
back. And Sheldon Crony's probably the next true tailback
right.
behind him.
What I want to
so
see.
So Kenne Nwangu is going to have to. Is he going to be the guy that ends up offsetting with Deshaunte Jones at that M position? Does he become a slot guy? Is he just a fill-in? Because that dude. If you got you, everyone saw the touchdown he had last year, that kick return touchdown, but you may not have seen what he can do just in the open field where you're just given the ball and like, all right, go do something. The explosiveness that cat has is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, like, where is he going to fit in? Because at wide receiver, obviously Deshaunte is going to be your starting, you would presume that Deshaunte would be your starting M. And then you got guys like Butler and you got Eaton still back and you've got, I'm forgetting somebody from last year.
Jalen Martin.
Yeah, Jalen Martin as the new upcoming kid.
Carson Epps.
Carson Epps is going to be a senior.
Yeah.
So you've got depth with tall guys,
and I think
they're tall physical receivers, but I want to see what you can do with a guy like Kenne Nwangu just to be like how the Panthers use Christian McCaffrey, just put him just somewhere on the field and find him.
Well, I think they really like that Tariq Milton, too, that they got in the 2016 class, and I'll be interested to see if Josh Johnson can – both of those guys were in the 2016 class, but or not 2016, 2017. But have you ever seen Semi-Pro?
Yes.
You know when Jackie Moon starts yelling, "I'm going Rover."
Yep.
That's what I imagine they're going to do with Kenne. He's just going Rover.
He's like, going.
They're
going
to go. He will just go all over the football field. And like, you know the play that they ran to Marchie against Oklahoma, where he went in the backfield and then they threw the swing to. Like, I think they'll do stuff like that with them because like that's just
get
like,
him in the open field,
right, and get him a running head start already.
Because he is the fastest kid on the team.
Oh yeah,
he's one of the fastest people I've seen in the town of Ames. He's one of the fastest people I've seen.
He would probably be a legit level Big 12 sprinter. If he wanted to run on the track.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he win the 5A Texas State high jump at 6'10"?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a 6'10 jump, and he's like 5'10 or 5'11.
Yeah.
So the
he's just a freak.
He's a freak explosive athlete. He just popped his Achilles before last season, so he wasn't in spring ball last year, so he didn't get to play.
And Allen said he's even faster now.
God.
That's what he told us last time we talked to him.
Kenny, I that's a complete side note. We were talking about the Schlecker kid where it's just pure speed. So he's going to have to put on, I think, a little bit of weight before he gets
he's
popped around.
5'9", 175.
He's going to have to put on a little bit of beef before he starts getting popped around, especially in the slot position. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just – one of the things, the subplots of what, like, going into spring ball is where does Nwangu fit in?
Yeah.
Where does he play?
Yeah. See, and that's what's crazy. I mean, they've got so many weapons coming back, dude. But here, this can transition us into another discussion. Is there a team – I mean, obviously we don't know what every team in the country has coming back. But Iowa State has to be incredibly enticing to a graduate transfer trying to – a graduate transfer quarterback trying to find a new home.
Because you're getting a left tackle returning in Sean Foster. He played right tackle before, but he'll end up going to left tackle. Your center, who you need to get all your protections right, your center's returning with Julian Good-Jones. You've got
– he was an all-conference guy too.
Yeah,
was Julian – honorable mention?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And so you've got your center, who's going to be in his third year of playing, and then you have Foster, who's – you know, four-star tackle who's good and only going to get going to be getting better. Mm-hmm. You've got two other offensive linemen because one of them got hurt, but you've got basically four linemen returning.
Yeah.
So and then one is Ogie Ahedigbo. Was it?
Just call him Ogie.
Ogie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ogie was projected to start at guard, and then he hurt his elbow or something like that. For all intents and purposes, you've got five returning starting offensive linemen. You've got Dylan Sainer and Chase Allen at tight end. You've got we've detailed how many receivers you've got, and you've got probably a guy who I would think by the start of next year, again, assuming that everything's healthy and everyone gets through all of it, is probably got long shot odds for the Heisman at tailback.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be on the list because of
he'll be
like, you know, fifth, where they have like the 100-to-1 odds of just like a list of like 25 guys. I don't know when the last time that Iowa State's had that guy, but you've probably got a long shot Heisman odds guy at tailback, and all you have to do is step in and spread it around.
Right. See, and that's what, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they can just get a guy that's, you know, kind of a prototypical
Kyle Kemp.
Yeah. And if they see, and that's what they had, that kid from Washington, KJ Carter Samuels, who was a highly rated kid out of high school.
He's just been behind
Jake Browning.
Jake Browning.
Yeah, who is a one-time Heisman finalist.
And probably going to be top three-round pick.
Washington to two New Year's Six Bowls.
He's probably going to be a top three-round pick,
so
you'd think.
He's a guy that I would imagine is more physically gifted than Kyle Kemp is. Mm-hmm. And at least naturally, I haven't seen him play since he – you know, went to college or anything like that. But I would imagine that for a guy like that, it's just like, look at what this guy did, who was a walk-on, who couldn't play at Hutchinson Community College. And you think you can't come in and do that?
Yeah.
Or do that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And your entire job is you don't have to make plays.
Yeah.
Just don't screw it up.
Yeah.
You get the ball. See that 6'7 wide receiver out there? Throw it up to the outside corner.
Right.
Throw it to him. See number 8 right here? Just throw him a bubble. He's going to do the rest. You're going to get 300 passing yards and throw the ball a grand total of like 78 feet.
Right.
And so you've got a tailback, if you ever do get in trouble, that is one fantastic at pass protection. Dave Montgomery is a wonderful blitz pickup guy. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get hit much. I think Iowa State they were in the top 25 in sacks allowed, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they did not allow many sacks at all.
And so you're not going to get hit much.
Yeah.
You've got freak skill athletes around you. You've got a tailback that's going to carry most of your load, and everything, or all your linemen are, generally speaking, experienced and played with each other, not just experienced and playing in their own spots.
Yeah.
They played with each other. So I don't know. Yeah, you're not wrong in saying that Iowa State is probably one of the most enticing spots. The only thing that you're competing with is Zeb. And so that's the only downside, is that Zeb did well. And so you're going to have to earn your job. It's not going to be given to you like maybe another position or another school would have you come here, you're going to play. But if you earn this spot, if you end up beating out a Nolan kid, your statistics are going to be really good, and you're going to win football games and not have to do a whole lot.
But see, and if I'm like one of those guys, I would want to come into a situation like this knowing that there is somebody that's going to push me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get what, you know, you want to go a place, well, I know I'm going to play here. But at the same time, I feel like it'd be easy to get complacent then. Like, I'd want to go somewhere where I know I'm going to have a guy to challenge me.
Well, and I think you want that guy, too. You don't want the guy that is complacent. But I guess I'm just talking about like the recruiting bargaining game.
But I think it'll be good for Zeb, too, because, I mean, you know, you mentioned Rial Mitchell before and Devin Moore. Both of them are going to be freshmen.
Right.
Like, I just don't know how much – and I don't think Devin Moore is on the same level as Zeb was coming into his redshirt freshman year. You know, so
even
I just,
they both had ACL tears.
Yeah, but I think that I just feel like Zeb is probably more talented than what Devin was before even the injuries. And so, I don't know. I think that he needs a guy to push him too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But either way, how fun is this that you're talking already prior to Iowa State's bowl game that Iowa State's set up even probably better for next year than they were for this past season.
They'll have one of the best skill player units in the, if not just the Big 12, but in the country probably. Mm-hmm. And they just lost one of the best receivers in the nation.
Right. And
then another receiver that is among the fastest players in college football.
And I'm interested, really the only question then for next year, and this is I'm hoping to see, I mean, maybe some of these guys have improved and sort of, like I said, going into spring ball, going to the offseason. The questions that I have post-bowl game are mm-hmm. who fills in for Joel?
Yeah.
I think the odds, my money is on Hummel, is the Jake Hummel kid. I think.
Or Tymar Sutton.
That's who I would think is going to end up being in that position because I think Spears and Harvey are
really good at where they're doing.
They earned their spot, but you don't want to move. Maybe Harvey pops into Mike linebacker because he's.
I think he was better at.
But he's
at
he's a better will because he's really fast side to side.
Yeah.
And he's big, but he's not a true Mike backer. And I think that's the problem with Tymar Sutton is I think he's also that same boat. Mm-hmm. I think he is more of a will linebacker than a Mike linebacker. So I think the Hummel kid, if he can get it, if he can understand, he is big. He's a big physical kid. And so I that's where my money is that Hummel kid plays with Mike. But regardless, who fills in for Joel?
Just the idea of a true sophomore
but you're bracketed,
middle linebacker is.
You're bracketed by two solid guys. So if they need to, they can make Harvey the guy that makes the primary call.
Yeah.
That's not so hard.
Right.
Yes, he has to make the checks inside, but if he doesn't get it, he can switch it around. But who fills in for the three safeties? Because I think McEnroe Alexander is probably one of the guys that you'd think.
I think he graduated.
Really? I thought he was going to be a senior. Either way. So you have who are going to be the three safeties? Who's going to be your middle linebacker? Outside of that,
you got most of your defensive linebacks.
Outside of JD and Trent.
Yeah. Which you've got guys that I think you will be able to fill in at those positions.
And so you've got
both your cornerbacks back, assuming Peavy comes back.
Matt Leo is going to have a full more year of football underneath his belt, and that kid's a freak of nature.
Right.
So there's – what does Iowa State replace at quarterback? The offensive line's pretty much set. We've got seven guys to play five positions, which is a great problem.
And they liked their freshmen that they had this
your
year.
Your skills are – we've talked about your skills. You've got three running backs, if you include Kinney in that group, that are Big 12 or higher caliber running backs.
Right.
Your secondary between your Payne – or DeAndre Payne and Brian Peavy at your starting corners – your linebacker, your outside linebackers are set. Your defensive line is set. Really, you got middle linebacker, safeties, and quarterback. They're your only questions going into next year. And I think you've got guys to populate those areas. It's just who are those guys and can they work together well?
Right. Yeah, I think I think it was talking about Iowa State football here on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show presented by Agrigold, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. I think it was Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, that was tweeting about this one day. They like the number you want to be at is 18 returning starters. I don't know what Iowa State's going to be at, but it's got to be close to that.
And if they don't, it kind of depends on your definition of returning starter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, is a guy like, say, Spencer Benton. Is a guy like a Spencer Benton a returning starter? No, technically no. But he played probably
a lot,
45 snaps a game, which is the equivalent of a starter. So he may not be a starter, but he's been a significant role player that's been in there, that's played like Jamal.
Or any, like any
Jamal,
played a lot.
Like of, any, or like Jamal Johnson. Like guys that were in there for 30 to 50 to 70 snaps a game, they just didn't start the game.
Right.
So, you know, a guy like DeShante Jones, he didn't start because he started behind, or because Trevor Ryan started in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he played a lot. So kind of depends on your qualification of what a starter is.
Right.
But even outside of that returning starters number, there's a lot of just returning snaps that come at every position outside of, like I said, safety and middle linebacker.
For sure. All right, closing out the show, last night, Iowa State picked up its fourth commitment in the 2019 class.
Real fast guy.
Bettendorf wide receiver Darian Porter, the class 4A state champion in the 400 meter.
As a sophomore last year.
Yeah, exactly. And right now, Iowa State sits at 14th in the 247 2019 class rankings.
Now, granted, that's going to change.
Early, yeah.
Your guys, you know, your Alabamas, your LSUs are going to end up piling on their five-star recruits later. But still, there's no question at this point.
So, in other words,
this Campbell staff has been here for now. This is their third full offseason, correct?
Yeah.
And so,
what I'm saying is you might as well just go ahead and book your tickets to the CFP for 2020.
Let's slow that down a little bit.
No, just we're booking them. I don't know where they're playing it at, but we're booking them. I'll book our flights right after this.
Is Williams going to pay for mine?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Probably not.
At no point is Williams going to pay for anything for me to go anywhere.
Yeah. All right. But regardless, I think that this is a class where you're going to start to really see this past season, you know, the success they had on the field, being in one of the biggest stories in college football for a lot of the year, really come into play.
And kind of the fun way that the offense morphs around guys.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good sell. I mean, I was an offensive guy being recruited. If you're an offensive guy, and I can't speak too much about the defense, because the defense was, they were aggressive and they morphed around too, but from an offensive perspective, it's easier to say, is they went from with Jacob Park in there, they would attempt 41 pass attempts a game, 37 pass attempts a game.
Yeah.
With Kyle Kemp in there, they didn't try and go square peg round hole. They were like, all right, well, we're going to give 22 carries to our tailbacks, 27 carries to our tailbacks. Everything is going to, we have a lot of outside passing. All of your stuff is going to be morphed around the personnel. So if I'm getting recruited and they say, we want you to play, we don't know exactly how it's going to work, but we know that we're going to get you into this offense.
Yeah.
I feel great about that because I don't have to change myself to be, you know, to use an example across the state, I don't have to be a fullback in the I offense in order to play at Iowa, because that would be what I would have to do. And then, you know, maybe be Mark Wiseman and pop back once seven guys get hurt. But with Iowa State is I'm going to be a really good, the best football player me that I can be, and they're going to find a way to push me into an offense and make something happen with it. So guys like the kid from Bettendorf, they're a fast wide receiver. He's, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah.
And so he's
6'2".
He's a big, tall,
six,
fast.
6'4", actually.
So he's a big, tall, fast kid. And
he's real skinny.
Maybe he's not Alan Lazard and is just going to body dudes up. Maybe he's not Hakeem Butler, just going to body dudes up. But he's maybe more Marching Murdoch. He's maybe more Matt Eaton, where he's more of just a speedster that has height that's going to go get something. And they're going to work the offense around where what that guy can do. And I think that's a really enticing fit if you are a recruit. That is, these guys are creative and they know how to get the job done.
For sure. Thanks, Jeff.
My pleasure.
Being on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Agrigold. I don't know what our plan is for the show next week, but just keep an eye out on the Twitter, and I'm sure that Chris will let everybody know at some point during the week. There's something else that I was going to mention, but I can't remember what it is right now. So everybody have a great weekend. Have a happy holidays from everybody here at Cyclone Fanatic, and you've been listening to the CF Radio Show on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.